The American Bar Association today swears in its first African-American president. He is Dennis Archer, former mayor of Detroit and Michigan Supreme Court justice. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
When Dennis Archer takes the gavel today, it will be something of a historic moment. The American Bar Association has not always welcomed African Americans. From 1878, when the organization was born, until 1950, blacks were barred from membership. As Dennis Archer observes, while black doctors and dentists always had a built-in clientele, and teachers could find jobs, albeit sometimes in segregated schools, the legal profession was, until the later part of the 20th century, openly hostile to African Americans. Indeed, many state and local bar associations also excluded African Americans and didn't allow them to use the law libraries. Archer thinks that's why there are relatively few black lawyers today, fewer than 10% of the legal population.
We are woefully underrepresented, and that is due to the fact that we were excluded and not welcomed into the legal profession.
Times have changed, of course. Witness the Supreme Court's recent decision upholding the University of Michigan Law School Affirmative Action Program. The court's decision was based, in large part, on the need to have more minorities in the legal profession. And as the first black president of the ABA, Dennis Archer is glad to be a role model. His is a Horatio Alger story. Archer's father had a third-grade education and a physical disability. He lost an arm in a car accident. The family was poor. In Cassopolis, Michigan, Archer's father worked as a caretaker, earning $150 a month, 6 months of the year, and $75 a month the other 6 months.
We did not have running water, so that meant I took a bath in a metal tub every Saturday night. We had an outhouse that you went to, whether it was 90 degrees or if it was 25 below wind chill factor.
But as Archer puts it, there was plenty of love for the Archer's only child and a constant message.
They always instilled in me that what I was going to do was to go to college. Now, I didn't know where I was going to go to college, had no idea what I wanted to be or what I would become. And I started my first job to sort of help out as a caddy on the golf course at the age of 8. And I haven't stopped working since. I set pins in a bowling alley. I used to paint for a real estate company. I was a stock boy in a drugstore. I got my first white-collar job at Henry Ford Hospital here in the city of Detroit as a medical records clerk.
Archer did go to college, became a teacher in Detroit, and enrolled in a master's degree program, where he met another teacher who persuaded him to try law school.
I finally took the LSAT. I passed it, and I started law school. Fell in love with the law. Its majesty, its promise, and the doors that it could open. And the smartest thing I did before I graduated from law school was to marry the teacher who suggested I go to law school.
Archer became a successful lawyer in Detroit and in 1985 was appointed to the Michigan Supreme Court. The next year he was elected to an 8-year term, and in Michigan, most thought he would remain on the bench for the rest of his professional life. After 4 years, though, he returned to law practice, his eyes on the mayor's office in Detroit. It was, as one observer put it, an audacious move. The then-mayor, Coleman Young, had been in office for 20 years. There had been speculation that Young would step down, and as the popular mayor mulled his options, Archer, according to press reports, made clear that he would run no matter what. In the end, Young did retire from office, but endorsed and worked hard to elect a chosen successor, not Dennis Archer. When the votes were counted, though, Archer was the victor. 8 years later, and with generally good reviews as mayor, Archer returned to private practice as chairman of a 200-lawyer firm in Detroit. Today, at the helm of the American legal profession, he is announcing a new initiative to deal with the unmet legal needs of the country's servicemen and women.
They are serving our country, and they have a legal need that they can't go out and hire a lawyer, whether the car doesn't work that they just bought, or they're getting ready to go into active service. And what do I do about my rental on my house? What about a will? What about these other kinds of things? But the military lawyers, unless they are licensed in the state, cannot go in and represent them.
In July, Archer met with all the state's chief justices in an effort to get them to change state court rules that bar military lawyers from representing military personnel in civilian courts. On another front, Dennis Archer is lobbying the nation's governors to change their residency requirements for state college admissions when dealing with the children of military personnel who have recently moved to a state.
We're finding that too many of our men and women in the military are passing up opportunities for promotion because they don't want to leave their states, because if they go to a new state, that means perhaps their child, who might be college ready, cannot get into a state-supported school because they have not established residency.
Finally, Archer is seeking to have officers in the JAG Corps included in a bill to forgive law school loans. Senator Richard Durbin has introduced legislation to provide such loan repayment for federal prosecutors, and Archer is hoping to expand the proposed program to include uniformed military lawyers who typically make considerably less than federal prosecutors. Whether any of this actually happens remains to be seen, but it is what Archer has decided to focus on during his tenure as ABA president. While the Bush administration may welcome some of these initiatives, it is at odds with the ABA on a number of important legal issues involving the war on terror. The hottest controversy at the moment is the government's restrictions on civilian lawyers who defend clients at military tribunals. In recent weeks, a number of bar leaders have said that civilian lawyers should not agree to participate in these tribunals if the rules are not changed. At the ABA this week, the House of Delegates is expected to formally oppose restrictions that, for example, limit a defense lawyer's access to information needed to defend a client, or that bar a defense lawyer from talking to the press about information that is not classified.
What the legal profession is saying is that if you don't give us these tools, this is a mockery, and if it's a mockery, we shouldn't participate. I am hopeful that wisdom will prevail, as has been done in other cases, and that the lawyer will be able to represent their client.
American Bar Association President Dennis Archer. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.